Welcome to Seven Figure Dental Practice, a show that teaches you how to successfully build and thrive in a dental practice. Here's your host, Dr. Shaheen Safarian.
Really excited here today to be sitting here next to Dr. Vivek Solanki. We'll talk a little bit about his bio in just a few minutes, but it's a little bit of an interesting discussion we're going to have today because we're going to talk about corporate dentistry. And as you all probably know by now, I'm Dr. Shaheen Safarian. I think this will be our 25th or 26th podcast episode that we're doing. I'm really pleased to have Dr. Solanki here. I myself have never, you know, when I graduated 2001, there really wasn't corporate dentistry as it's defined today. So I got into the private sector and I've kind of stayed in the private sector in my career. But through talking to many dentists, one of them being with us right now, I've learned a lot about what corporate dentistry is and what corporate dentistry is not. And I thought it'd be great to not hear from me, but to hear from somebody who has actually gone through the real life experience. So before we get too far into this, Dr. Solanki, you want to just introduce yourself, please?
Sure. Hello. My name is Vivek Solanki. I am a periodontist in Southern California. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, and University of Florida was college for me. After that, I moved to Washington, D.C. for dental school at Howard University. My original plan was to go back to Florida and practice dentistry as my parents were general dentists in Jacksonville, Florida. But then I decided I wanted to get some more training. Implants were getting very popular and more general dentists were doing advanced training to try to add things to their practice. So I decided to do a general practice residency in Philadelphia at Albert Einstein Medical Center. I stayed there for a year and I really enjoyed the training I received. It was very perioprost driven. So I decided to stay for a second year as a chief resident to kind of decide, you know, how much of this do I want to do and what my limitations would be in private practice. Over the course of the second year, my heart changed and I decided to pursue periodontics as a specialty. So I applied to residency programs across the country and decided to go to the VA hospital in West Los Angeles for three more years of specialty training. When I finished specialty training, I moved to San Diego for a year where I did a mixture of corporate dentistry, private practice dentistry, and kind of transitioned myself to the private sector completely.
Thanks, Doc, for sharing that. What year did you finish your perio program?
2016.
Okay. And, you know, Dr. Solanki just received, he's pretty humble, but he just received his diplomat status as being an American board certified periodontist. In full disclosure here, he and I have been working together now for probably almost a year, I would say. Probably a year, a little over a year now. Yeah. We've worked on many different cases. He's picked my brain, I've picked his brain from a clinical side, and also obviously through conversations, we've also talked about his corporate experience. It's really interesting, the conversations, discussions that we have. But, and I can speak for myself and maybe many dentists. I remember when I first decided to become a dentist, one of the biggest things for me was the ability for me to make my own decisions, the ability for me to control my own future. Maybe that's at some level the American dream. That was really important to me. Autonomy of being a clinician was very important to me. Through my conversation with Dr. Solanki, and he's going to expand on this here in our podcast today, but it became evident to me that there was a lot of control as far as a diagnostician, and in his case, a periodontist, a lot of that control was lost. Is that not correct, Doc?
There's just a lot of key ingredients in corporate dentistry. There's a lot of moving parts. You know, the corporate dentistry model is really to keep everything in-house, which can be good, but can also be sometimes a little difficult. Most of the specialists in corporate dentistry are there, you know, a couple of times a month, maybe a few times a month at best. The way that the corporations are set up, they have a general dentist there, and usually some degree of the corporation owns a part of the practice, and the other remainder portion of the practice is owned by the dentist himself. And then everything is kind of contracted out, subcontracted to different specialists, endo, pediatrics, ortho, oral surgery, perio. So one of the challenging things can obviously be treatment planning cases, because there's so many moving pieces, scheduling things, when are they going to be here, you know, waiting to hear back from another person. It's just becomes very difficult to do that sometimes.
It sounds like, obviously a general dentist like myself, being in corporate is a little different because maybe we're there on a more regular basis. But when you get a situation like Dr. Solanki's talking about here, is he kind of walks into a situation already. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like you got to kind of get caught up with what's going on with this patient and what the activities have been and the thought process has been before you get in and try to touch the patient.
Yeah, with every situation, you're always going to transition into something that maybe somebody else had started, treatment planned, or maybe somebody like in private practice may just leave and come back ready to start treatment again. One of the challenges with corporate is it's that sometimes the regular flow of things gets accelerated, or, you know, and a good example of this is if, you know, my periodontist may not be here for a few weeks and, you know, we've done scaling and root planing, but we need to get crowns on certain teeth. You know, dentistry is a business and things are generally production driven to some degree, right. But we have protocols set up in dentistry so that we can eliminate challenges and, you know, we can do the best care for patients. So when that protocol gets bypassed and, you know, patients may need osseous surgery, and then these teeth end up getting crowns or root canals. And then after the fact, you know, the periodontal condition is so severe that osseous surgery can't fix these teeth. Well, then the periodontist or a specialist or anybody could be in a really sticky position as to how do I treatment plan this case to help the treatment plan when, you know, it could have been prevented or saved or made much easier had we done it in a different manner.
Well, it's interesting because we all know that foundation is the most important before you actually build on top of that foundation. So to your point, it sounds to me like you kind of go into situations where the foundation is many times not ideal, and in many cases, maybe at the moderate to severe stage, but yet the, you know, what's in the oral cavity has been treated, and now you're kind of working backwards.
Sometimes it can happen like that. You know, it just, the more complex the case, I feel the more difficult it becomes. And I think personally for me, after being in, you know, my residency experience was 5 years, 5 years of basically perioprost training. I got my degree in periodontics, but, you know, over the course of 5 years, you really ingrained not just how to do things textbook, but you're ingrained on good sequencing and trying to make sure things go a certain way. When you get to private practice, there are many different things that you adapt to, and it's nothing like residency. However, when you're thrown into a situation where, you know, you have so much volume and you have to be very quick, things can become very challenging. And personally, I found it that it made me a little bit more conservative than what my training was, because if I was only going to be in certain places a month, once or twice a month, you know, I was less inclined to do these bigger treatment plans with follow-up being very minimal. You know, I'm kind of opening myself up, and it makes clinician very nervous, not knowing what could happen. You know, when am I going to be in this place next? And a lot of times clinicians are traveling to many different locations, and these locations could be 30, 40 miles an hour, 2 hours apart. And it just becomes challenging. Simple cases, you know, it's not as bad, but, you know, when there's a lot involved and multiple providers are treating it, and the treatment plan becomes extensive, multiple implants, grafting, I found that it made me less likely to do those cases And that's a personal level.
Thanks for listening to Seven Figure Dental Practice. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in to the next episode.